Matthew, we finished a series last week, which is the Lenten series. But I found a really wonderful text, many texts from Book of Matthew, and probably it will be a great time for us to look at some of them. So from today, we will be starting a new series, the title like the Parables of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be like a 5 or 6 weeks of sermons, but it will be like a 4 weeks starting from today. We're going to look at 4 different passages. If you look at the book of Matthew, Matthew tells lots of parables that Jesus spoke. And especially Matthew 13 is the first one, the first parable of Jesus Christ. And it goes like 18 and 21 and 22. But I decided to pick some of them to encourage our faith and to grow in faith together. There will be chapter 18 next week and chapter 21 2 weeks later. And chapter 25 will be the last one. So we just started a new series, the Parables of Jesus Christ. Let's see how God is blessing us. I'm kind of excited to unfold God's stories from His parables. Today our story is from Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9. But actually, I'm going to use all the verses from 1 to 23. Now, Matthew tells us a very interesting story from Jesus' teaching. The verse 1 through 9 is about the parable, and 10 to 17 will be reason for using parables in His teaching, Jesus' teaching, and 18 to 23 will be his explanation of the parable of the sower, or we can say the soil. But I'm going to read it only verse 1 through 9 at this moment. Let's pray before we reading the text. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for telling us many good stories, even parables from the Bible. The parables are a good tool for knowing your kingdom and knowing the truth of Jesus Christ. But sometimes it's tricky to understand the meaning of your teaching, Lord. So we need your help. Would you please bless us and be with us, encourage us, and open our hearts and minds so that we will be able to understand your teaching from the Scripture. Thank you for giving us this wonderful text today, Matthew 13. Also bless me as I'm going to deliver the Word of God to your people and to myself as well. Bless me with your Holy Spirit and hold me and use me. And I want to be seized by your Holy Spirit, Lord. So please be with us and bless us. We pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the Word of God. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside a sea. And the great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And then as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came in and devoured them. The other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell along thorns. The thorns grew up and then choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the Word of God. Now we need to talk about the setting of the parable then in Matthew 13. That tells about verse 1 and 2. While Jesus was walking along the shore of the Galilee, and the great crowds, multitudes gathered around him to listen to his teaching. That's kind of usual scene that we see from the Bible. And people at the time, they love to follow their teachers as they're walking together. They're learning from their teachers. That happened in here, Matthew 13. But somehow, Jesus was almost pushed into the sea because a lot of people were there. So he went into a boat to make some distance and space between himself and the crowd. So Jesus went into a boat and sat there and then began his teaching. and teaching in many things in parables. That's the starting of our teaching today. Now, the parables of weeds, and later on we will see that today, but in your text, and the mustard seed and hidden treasures, and lots of things coming from Jesus' teaching. Now, but most scholars, even I, we don't think that Jesus taught all these parables in one time, at once. Rather, his teaching of the parables were spread like throughout the ministry, his many years of ministries. But here we begin with his teaching of the parable of the sower. Now, the parable of the sower, the titles, or we can say the parable of the soil, is the first parable of Jesus Christ before many other parables in the book of Matthew. That gives us a single attention that is important. There is a reason for Matthew put all this, among all these different parables, put this one first. We'll be finding out today. Now, although the ESV titles our text as the parable of the sower, now we should understand that the parable of the sower is more like a little bit not fitting to the story. Rather, the parable of the soil is more fitting to the storyline, but both titles are fine. Now, Jesus surely talks about the work of the sower, who is Jesus Christ himself, the sower. He talks about it later when he talks about the parable of the weed, and he talks about himself as the sower. But yet, Jesus in our text emphasizes the importance of the soil, the quality of the soil. And then he begins his story in verse 3. He says, a sower went out to sow. Now, before talking about this parable, we need to understand in agriculture in Palestine, it's different than that of in the United States. That when we hear a sower went out to sow, now we assume, even I assume, that the field was already plowed. Went through, they finished all the job, they were ready to get all the seeds. That's why the sower went out to sow some seeds. However, in Palestinian culture, interestingly, they sow first, then plowed later to put the seeds into the ground. I think I happen to see these things in my country as well. Sow first, and then they plowed later to make sure that all the seeds go deeper inside of the ground. So when Jesus was talking about this condition and the fact and background of his story, the people there, they were able to understand his story. The condition of four different types of soil in the text. Now, in this parable of the soil, now Jesus mainly talks about four different types of soil. As the sower spread his seeds to the field, and some seeds landed on the path. I'm going to explain to you what does it mean later. Some seeds fell on rocky ground, and some seeds fell on thorn field, and finally, some seeds fell on good soil. Now, the interesting thing is this. Although Jesus was talking about the parable that everyone at the time could easily understand, yes, he's talking about our culture. Anyway, the parable must be easy to remember at the time because it carries the meaning, and then that's oral tradition. They have to be really short and really easy to understand. So it's kind of really easy to understand. But the disciples were not sure about what Jesus was talking about in his parable. So they came to Jesus and asked him, Why do you speak to them in parables? In verse 10. Now, Jesus answered to their question is somehow very strange. In verse 11, he said, to you it has given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So Jesus' answer made them more confused. Okay. And then now we need to understand the purpose of parables for the Israelites at the time or in the Bible. Many rabbi and teachers or teachers of the Bible and even prophets from the Old Testament, they used the parables to help people's understanding about God's word, to understand, help them understand about God's teaching. Now, for example, the best parable maybe from the Old Testament that we know is, it could be maybe the Nathan's parable of the ewe lamb, which the prophet used to rebuke the King David and his sin. We know that story. David killed Uriah, one of 30 commanders, faithful commander of Israel, to steal his wife. Now, surely David was outraged when he heard Nathan's parable, the parable of the ewe lamb. And then he said in verse 5, chapter 12 and verse 5 in 2 Samuel, he said, the man he was done is deserves to die. That's interesting. He listened a parable and he said that the man has to die. But eventually, David realized that the man who deserves to die is himself. That's the power of the parable, using the parable to bring the teaching of God and to bring the teaching of the Bible, to bring the spiritual truth of God's words. That is the purpose of using parables for many teachers in the Bible and at the time, in Jesus' time. And that's why some people say parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But however, what we hear from Jesus is somehow mysterious. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. For Jesus, the purpose of telling and teaching parables is to bring the secrets of the kingdom of heaven to his chosen people, not for everyone. Somehow, it's really sad, but that's what Jesus said. And he added a few more words in verse 12. For to those, to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Oh no. Those who understand his parables will get more, the treasure from the Bible. But those who don't understand his teachings and his parables will lose more. Even what he has right now will be taken away. Kind of scary. But Jesus explained that way to teach his disciples the power of using parables. So Jesus explained, after that, he explains the meaning of the parable of the soil, verses 18 to 23. The path, the first one. As a sower spreads his seeds on the ground, some seeds fell on the path. In Palestine, now the field were, like many fields, were not fenced off and protecting from different things or animals or some other people. It was just open field and with a long, narrow paths around or inside of the field. So if you wants to go to your field, that means you need to make your journey through these narrow paths. So therefore, you can imagine that these narrow paths were beaten by a lot of people, beaten really hard every day by a lot of people working through and passing through. So these paths become really like a stone or like a regular street and road. That's the condition what Jesus is talking about here. Now, Jesus explains that some people's heart, their hearts would be like the path. Now, their hearts are like a hardened, like the path in the field. And then he explains what happens to their hearts later. And they hear the word of God, which is the sower, Jesus Christ. Christ brought the word from God. But since their hearts are hardened, they don't understand the meaning of God's words. And Jesus says in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, that's the meaning of having the path in our hearts. The real challenge actually is not about their lack of ability to understand the word of God. But Satan, what Satan does to them is a real challenge. Their hearts become like open field to Satan. And Jesus says in verse 19, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their heart. Now, what Jesus said in the parable is true to the first century people. They heard the word of God from Jesus Christ. But they didn't take his teaching and God's words not seriously. For example, John records many stories of Jesus Christ. John talks about many interesting stories here, but many people came to Christ and they followed everywhere where Jesus went. And even Jesus fed them 5,000 people because they were hungry. Now after feeding the multitude, and Jesus said interesting words, he said, I am the bread of life. Now this is what people said after his words. John chapter 6 and verse 60. Oh, this is hard saying. Who can listen to it? Then John tells a sad story later in verse 66. And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with them. Isn't that interesting? They followed Christ everywhere and they want something. Jesus fed them, 5,000 people, and they saw it, they experienced it. But when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, they didn't understand. And they left and no longer walked with him. It happens to us. It happens to anybody. It happened to many people in the first century. Because what people wanted was not to know about the truth of Jesus Christ at the time, who he was, why he came, and the meaning of his death on the cross. Rather, what they wanted to know was more signs, watching more signs and miracles. They wanted to have their king, not the king from God. Although they witnessed so many things, how Jesus fed 5,000 people with only 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, they did not understand it at all. Rather, they left him and no longer walked with him. They heard the word of God, as Jesus said. But they did not respond to the word of God. They did not understand the word of God. The word of God was meaningless to them. Because why? Because their hearts were like the path. So, Satan comes and snatches away what they had has been sown in their hearts. What about the rocky ground? As a sower throws his seeds on the rocky ground, some seeds fell on the rocky places. Now the rocky grounds doesn't mean that the field is covered by stones everywhere. In Palestine, the rocky places are found any field, and some soils are there around the rocky places that we can imagine that. So Jesus explains the meaning of the rocky places. Some people's hearts will be like the rocky places. Same thing, they hear the word of God, and they receive the word of God, actually. It's better than the path. They receive the word of God. There is one more word, with joy. Now, their hearts are moved and touched by the word of God and saying that it's great. I'm so happy to listen from you. Now, people immediately responded to the word of God with enthusiasm and passion, which is really good. But however, the real problem is not their joy and enthusiasm and their passion, but the coming of the tribulation or persecution that Jesus said. In verse 21, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now, what happened to their hearts is that the joy of hearing the Word of God and then the passion for knowing the Word of God disappears from their hearts because of tribulation or persecution in their lives. Now here Jesus points out why their faith is a temporal or shallow in verse 6. Since they had no root, they withered away. In verse 21, he has no root in himself. Now the word root reminds us of Psalm 1 and verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What a wonderful picture that we can imagine in our minds, rooting in Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, they had no root, they withered away. He has no root in himself. Even Psalm 1 and 4 said, the wicked are not so, but the like chaff that the wind drives away. Now, faith is not about temporal joy or temporal enthusiasm or passion of doing kingdom works. The faith is knowing the Word of God is true. We hear from the Bible that is true. For these people, the Word of God that they heard from the Bible, from Jesus Christ, kind of will be blown away from their hearts because their hearts are not rooted in Jesus Christ. Now, if we are rooted in Jesus Christ, everything what we hear and know becomes not temporal, not shallow, not meaningless. Everything is its nourishment for us. That's what Psalm 1 teaches about it. If we are rooted in Christ. Jesus always taught the cost of this following him in his teaching, especially Luke chapter 9, 23. Listen, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is what he said. Following Christ doesn't mean that we will always have good days. Every day is good days. We'll be successful. We'll be rich people. We'll get everything what we want. Surely we will be blessed. But what Jesus said in the text was, surely we will face many difficult moments that we don't expect it. Surely we will be hated by all nations. And surely we will be handed over to be persecuted, even put to death. And Peter says, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow his steps. The Bible clearly teaches us that persecution is honor for us. But for some people, it could be the rocky ground. Our faith is not rooted into the joy of the world, temporal one. But our faith is deeply rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're ready for suffering. We're ready for walking with Christ as he suffered for us. And we should not forget what the first century people said. People cried out with joy in their hearts, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. We heard about that news last week. But later, the same multitude cried with anger and in anger in their hearts, crucify him, crucify him. Surely their hearts were hardened and became like rock because their faith was not rooted into Christ and his words. But their faith was a temporal. When the persecution comes and tribulation comes, immediately falls away. What about the thorny places? Now, it's interesting to see the seeds among the thorns. It's not like the path, rejecting the word of God and not responding to the word of God. It's not like the rocky field, the temporarily having joy, and I'm good about that, and I'm so happy to listen to your word. Not temporal ones, but here the seeds are actually growing among the thorns and fell on the thorny area, places, and the seeds are actually growing among the thorns. Now, compared to the path and the rocky places, it seems that the thorny places look much better. They would have water there to absorb water and much soil to settle down a little bit. However, Jesus talks about the real problem. The real problem is not about growing among the thorns, but about their fruits. And Jesus says in verse 22, it proves unfruitful. There is no fruit. Now, why is that? Why there is no fruit? And Jesus says in verse 22, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now think about that this way. The people hear the word of God. But it seems they're growing in faith a little bit and settling down and learning about God's words. And it seems their faith is rooted in Jesus Christ a little bit. But they can't take it. Much nourishment from the ground because they're all around them. All the weeds are around them and they're choking them and stealing their nutrition from the ground, which is the worries of the world around them, choking them. So what happened to them is that there will be no fruits like the rocky places. There's no fruit at all. Jesus says, unfruitful in verse 22. Now, Jesus clearly says in Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, it's our call to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, we know that that's true. We need to seek the kingdom of God. But yet, do we really seek the kingdom of God in our daily life and in every day? Or do we seek first the things of the world? That we have to take care of things of the world and worrying about what we will eat and we will drink tomorrow. Now, we should not misunderstand what Jesus said here. He didn't say that we should not do anything, just waiting for His blessings and laying down and waiting for His provision. No, not that way. Rather, He's saying that He's kind of throwing questions to us and asking us about where is your heart at right now? You know, we're asking, what's in your heart right now? Paul tells about what Jesus did for us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. He emptied himself, and by taking the form of a servant, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. And then Paul said that, so have this mind, learn from Jesus Christ, but do nothing from selfish ambition and conceit. So basically he's teaching us that living for Christ, seeking God's kingdom first. But we find ourselves that not Jesus is sitting in our hearts, but something else, the worries of the world, and then something of the world. Now here, John Calvin says about this verse, he says, quote, Christ compares to thorns the pleasures of this life. This is very good application. Pleasures of this life, wicked desires, and covetousness, and the other anxieties of the flesh. And the sinful affections of the flesh prevail over the hearts of man. and overcome faith and thus destroy the force of the heavenly doctrine. That's what John Calvin said. And that's what he understood this text. What's in our heart? We always think that we want to be like Jesus Christ, or we want to take care of the world first, which is the deceitfulness of riches of the world. What about good soil? Now, the last one is very easy to understand. It's very simple and very straightforward. Now, some seeds fell on good soil. That means the one who hears the word of God and understand it, that's good. And then the last one is very powerful. Then he indeed bears fruits. And so far up to this moment, there's no fruit at all. But here Jesus said, he bears fruits. In verse 34, actually not here, Jesus talks about fruits in chapter 12, 34. He says, either make the tree good or its fruits good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For tree is known by its fruit. Now, Jesus is not talking about the perfection of faith. But he's talking about fruits that we bear. We're not only listening to the Word of God, we're not only studying the Word of God, but we need to practice them into our lives in order to produce fruits. Matthew 7 and 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So we need to practice his teaching to produce spiritual fruits. It is our call to produce spiritual fruits after hearing the word of God. So maybe we can ask these questions. Am I bearing spiritual fruits or not? Or maybe you can ask this question, am I good soil or not? Now, when Jesus explains the reason for his teaching of parables, he quoted Jeremiah and Isaiah. And he said, this is what Jeremiah and Isaiah said, Jeremiah 5 and Isaiah 6, hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who you have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. From Isaiah 6, 9 and verse 10 says, go and say to these people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Now from the parable of the soil, we repeatedly hear a few interesting words. The word hear. It happens 16 times in Matthew 13. The word seeds 10 times in 13. And understand 5 times. And fruit is about only one time in verse 23. And soil in 4 times. Now based on what Jesus said, his words, we know what he's trying to teach us. We hear the word of God. We hear the word of God almost every day, maybe only Sunday. Then maybe we can say that I understand, I know what Jesus is saying from this text. I understand the word of God. But the question that we have to ask is, do we really bear spiritual fruits after hearing the word of God? Now, Jesus mentions, he tries to compare us to soil like a heart. If you look at the verse 19, Jesus says soil like is a heart. Now, what is the condition of our hearts today when we hear the word of God? Are we ready to receive his teaching, the word of God? That's good. We are always ready. I think that happens to everybody, almost everyone. But the next thing is that, are we ready to practice what we have learned from Jesus Christ to produce more spiritual fruits? We need to go forward. We need to step forward a little bit more. I have an interesting story. Long time ago, and many people were talking about a particular pastor and his preaching and his style of preaching. And generally, most of people who were with them were talking about, well, we can listen and we can learn about anything. But there is one person said, I'm fine with his teaching because I'm learning many things. And I felt, wow, is it true? People are talking about a pastor is really bad because a pastor is really, really bad, or their hearts are bad. Their hearts are not ready to receive the Word of God. Now, don't we have the same experience? We're really busy to judge things when we see things. Now, it is true that our pastor should faithfully study the Word of God and should bring the message of God to his people. But oftentimes, the quality of a pastor's sermon is judged not by his messages, but by the condition of people's hearts. So if I'm going to say, you know, poor sermon, poor messages today, but if your heart's really good, you'll be blessed. I think that is kind of sense that we can learn from this text. Jesus is bringing our hearts to the quality, the condition of our hearts when we listen to his teachings. Is your heart like the path, bouncing off all the seeds, hard spaces, or rocky places? Just temporarily joy and temporarily receiving things. What about the thorny ground? Choking things, everything around you and circumstances, choking you and your faith and losing your attention from Jesus Christ. Or good soil. But I don't know, but from Jesus Christ, his teaching, this is our prayer and my prayer that our hearts, the soil of our hearts must be like a good soil. And that's kind of our responsibility when we hear, not just only hearing the Word of God, but we need to study hard, we need to be ready to produce spiritual fruits, we need to practice all his teachings. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this parable that Jesus taught. And Jesus is talking about the quality of the soil. It reminds us of our hearts. Lord, would you please bless us? Would you please be with us? Make our hearts as good soil so that we can receive your words. We are ready to produce lots of spiritual fruits to serve you in your kingdom. So Lord, be with us, Lord, and bless us. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen.